Hello, Ben.
My name's Jeremy Wells, and this is Matt Heath.
Hello, Jeremy, and this is our podcast, The Best Bits from Today's Show. And at the end of it, you go, well, I won't be listening to that show in its entirety if those were the best bits, because pretty low level. Pretty low level. The agenda. Late at customers' harsh note over offensive Christmas music. Bah humbug. Soon, Bill English reveals how he forgot his shoes and then delivers the world's most boring speech. But now, even one cigarette a day is deadly.
This is interesting. Even occasional smoking, as little as half a ciggy a day, can be deadly, health officials warn. In a new government study, people who restrict themselves to fewer than seven ciggies a week still have a 64% higher risk of an early death than non-smokers. That figure is not far off the risk for heavy smokers, who are 87% more likely to develop a life-threatening disease. Therefore, if you smoke, you may as well smoke a pack a day.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're saying. That's the message out there. So go hard or go home, basically.
Basically, they are saying that. They are saying either you're gonna, if you smoke, you're screwed. So just get stuck in.
Don't fart around the edges.
Yep.
Don't piss around. Go all in.
Well, there's always that saying. I mean, I remember growing up, if you're going to do something properly.
If you're going to get out of bed in the morning, get completely out of bed. Don't get half out of bed.
No, exactly. So if you're going to do something, do it properly. And that's, like, I'm always telling my children that. If you're going to do something, do it properly. And when it comes to smoking, there's no point in farting around with one ciggy a day.
Hey, Jerry, so that, for me, would suggest it'd be a great time for us to update our top five sexiest cigarette brands.
Oh, yes, I've actually been working on this for all day yesterday.
Yeah, I know there's been some big changes, some heat seekers moving up the charts since last time we did this.
No, so absolutely.
Shall we come back to that? Hey, just, I'm just going to go Brenton Gizzy, because he might have some information around the power cuts. Brent, you got any power down there in Gizzy?
Nah, it's all out. There's no power. The service stations must have some limited power because I just filled out my car with gas.
So what have you been doing?
Sleeping.
Is it? And no internet?
I've got internet on my phone.
Wow. And has it been good or bad?
Been good. It's like we kind of talked to each other as a family last night.
Oh, really? Wow, really? Really? Jesus Christ.
We had a conversation, like a family conversation.
How do you know it was your family? It could have been another family. Was it completely dark at that point?
I don't know. I'm going through internet withdrawals, so you could have been right, yeah.
And have you lit any candles? Did you have a...
We had candlelight dinner last night, and I had to go into my girlfriend's because she's afraid of looting and robbery.
She was what?
Yeah, I had to go and stay with my girlfriend last night because she was afraid of looters. Oh.
Ross is worried about looters.
I thought you said she was looted and robbed.
I'm just sort of always been interested in your relationship with your girlfriend, Brent, because...
Have you, Jeff?
Well, I have, because you don't seem to spend a lot of time with her other than in natural disasters or when things go wrong. Other than that, it seems to be I had to go around and stay at the girlfriend's last night because she's worried about looters. And it's like, well, what about... I had to go around and stay at my girlfriend's house last night because I wanted to go and stay at my girlfriend's house last night.
No, I did actually want to go. It was a good excuse. I didn't have a relationship. Well, she just works too much, though. She administrates for a bread factory.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the bread, hard work.
The bread just has to keep coming.
Keeps coming, bread.
Mm. Hey, Brent, now the obvious question, I know all our listeners are thinking it, and me and Jerry are thinking it, because, you know, there's normally a spike in maternity rates around a power cut. Because, you know, people go to bed early, one thing leads to another.
I was too tired last night. I just went to bed early and went to sleep.
How old are you, Brent?
40.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know that feeling. Oh, yeah, I know that feeling.
Hey, all the best, though, Brent, with your situation down there. Is there any ETA on the power getting back on?
ECT.
ECT? What's an ECT?
Electroconvulsive treatment.
Oh,
no, not so much that, more just the estimated time of arrival of the actual
I think
power.
It's this afternoon or definitely this evening.
And what's the first thing you can do? Turn on a light?
Depends how, if it's on at 5 o'clock, I'll probably check my Facebook on my computer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what about blow drying your hair?
You need to get on your Facebook because people have been printing...
I think we're friends on Facebook, Matt.
Yeah, there's people have been posting a lot of pretty... they've taken the opportunity to post some pretty full-on pictures of you from over the years.
So I've seen stuff out about you, Brent, that I never would have thought.
They knew you wouldn't be in a position to dispute them.
I got one word for you, Brent. She-mouse.
What? Well, that's all right. Now that I'm on anti-anxiety medication, life is a lot easier.
Oh, right.
So totally. We'll double the dose on that.
I will.
Double the dose on that. It's always the way.
Anyway, Brent, thank you for your call. You're a great New Zealander.
The Hauraki Breakfast with Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells.
And now,
It's another Matt and Jenny Top 5.
Yes, a lot of news that even occasional smoking, as little as half a cigarette a day, is about as bad as being a heavy smoker. So you might as well go hard if you're going to go at all. Here are the top 5 sexiest ciggy brands. Jerry, you've handed me a list.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen this list before.
I've been working on this list all day yesterday, Matt. It's a massive amount of research. I had to smoke all of these ciggies just to make sure that they were still sexy.
Okay, so let's get stuck in.
Number 5.
I see you've written Peter Stuyvesant Ultra Mile 20.
Oh, absolutely. Peter Stuyvesant, of course, the man who was the founder of New York. And what's sexier than New York? The white pack as well with the Stuyvies. And there's something about the ultra-mild nature of the Peter Stuyvesant that makes it super sexy.
Did Peter Stuyvesant create New York or found New York on the back of Ciggy Cash?
That's exactly what happened.
Wow.
Yeah, he was all about the Ciggies. He was all about the city.
Right.
Stuyvie.
Number 4.
Fleur 20s.
Yeah, sexy, particularly if you're a female. Not so sexy for a male, although depending, can be actually quite sexy. It's the floral pack. Also the fact that it was so successful as a cigarette that it was taken on into the women's sanitary realm as well.
What, the same product?
No, slightly different product, but
similar,
certainly
though,
the same
they?
Name.
But they're and very similar product, don't they?
Yeah, similar
in
product.
Some ways.
Similar shape, and also exactly the same name, Fleur. Comes in a cute little pack of 20s.
With flowers on it?
Mm-hmm.
Number 3.
You've written John Brandon 14.
Oh, who doesn't love a John Brandon 14? Because 10s are a little bit cheap. When I was growing up, it was all about the 10s, the Pall Mall 10s, the Rothy's 10s, the Stuyvesant 10s as well. And the 14s were just a step up from the 10s, which showed that you weren't too cheap and you knew your way around a ciggy.
Number 2.
Pall Mall Red Filterless.
Yeah, if you're going to go hard. And the Pall Mall Red Filterless is the harshest cigarette that's ever possibly been made. Generally only spotted down trackside around race courses, around Tarapa. And you'd see them occasionally at Addington as well. Nowadays, I don't even think they make them. But if you're smart, you would have stockpiled a whole lot of them because they get right to the back of the throat.
Well, some people just like it raw, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And the number 1 sexiest cigarette brand of all time.
Number 1.
Without a doubt.
Sportsman Red 25.
Without a doubt, Sportsman Red 25s. Because, of course, sports is all about smoking.
Yeah.
And all the best sportsmen in the world
especially
have been
swimming.
Smokers. Swimmers. Through a snorkel. Yes. Not so much swimming, actually.
Deep blue diving.
You're not so much, again, with the diving. More the land-based sports. Like cricket, rugby, league particularly.
Yep.
A lot of stories about league players back in the day that would smoke at half time and
the two suck league smokers. Half a cigarette. Second half of the cigarette.
Well, I've told the story a million times about the ciggies coming out on the drinks trolley at the Gary Troop benefit match at 1986 at Western Springs Park. They loved a ciggy in those days, the sports people. It's all about sports and ciggies.
And there are your top 5 sexiest ciggy brands. If you've got any problems with the list, want to add something to the list, look, we'd love to hear from you. 0800 Hodaki.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Now, Jerry, you were saying that you were fizzing at the bung when you heard the new PM's speech, Bill English. He set Parliament alight when he blasted out one of the great speeches of history. I mean, Obama would be jealous about this speech. Listen to the passion.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that the National Party caucus has just elected me as the new leader of the party and Paula Bennett as the deputy leader. I want to thank
step aside
my
Winston Churchill.
Trust they've shown in me.
John F. Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. Those guys have just got nothing on Bill English.
And you can feel that charisma. He's got that John Key sort of every man charisma. It is kind of every man. It's like every person's dad at a wedding.
I'm proud to have
sucking the life out of the wedding, talking about, I, in many ways, think of John as a new son, not so much as losing my daughter Sarah.
Are there any people out there you reckon that are just saying, thank God politics is going back to this?
Yeah, this is what New Zealand politics has always been like.
Yeah, thank God we're going back to this because I was getting a little bit fancy pants there for a little while, a little bit non-political, a little bit casual.
Yeah, a little bit casual. Hey, now earlier today to try and beef up Bill English's speech, I put the theme to Gladiator under it, and I think that made it emotional. You put...
Josh Wink's Higher State of Consciousness.
Yeah. But I think we should take it back to 2001 and see if we can we can spice up a speech with the DJ A-Hole classic Sandstorm by Darude. It's taking me back to every 2020 in the country in the last 5 years.
Classic video with people running. All the dance videos in those days had just people running places. Oh, here we go. There we go. Ready for Bill?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that the National Party caucus has just elected me as the new leader of the party and Paula Bennett as the deputy leader.
Woo!
I want to thank my colleagues for the trust they've shown in me and for the constructive and civil manner in which they have debated over
and
chosen a new leadership
team.
Reach
for those lasers.
I welcome Paula as the deputy leader.
Is it a press corps gurning?
A smart, accomplished and energetic woman as National's first female Deputy Prime Minister and New Zealand's second only Deputy Prime Minister who's a woman.
Who's a woman?
With her the political experience of winning and holding marginal seats.
This is a good remix.
Here we go. World-leading welfare reforms. And an inspiring journey from teenage solo mum to Deputy Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Yeah, that's.
I also want to thank and acknowledge Jonathan
Collins. Here we go.
Here we go.
For a contest that focused on the challenges that lie ahead for our country and the kind of government needed to meet those challenges.
Here we go. Feel the energy.
I'd like to thank the outgoing Prime Minister for his service
to
this country.
Everyone.
His strong and positive leadership has guided New Zealand through recession and natural disaster. Because of his unwavering confidence and optimism, New Zealand is a better, more confident country.
Wait for the remixes. People are going to be using
that speech. We've got to let Darude go. We can't cut out yet. Come on, Darude. Let's do it. And we're gone. Here we go, Darude. You can do it, Darude. Darude! Darude! Yeah! Jeez. 2001, Darude. Really spicing up Bill English in 2006.
So I said to her, look, if you're going to do that, then do it properly. You know, don't do it half, don't go halfway, do the full, you know, service. And then she told me to bugger off.
Absolutely. Oh, is the mic on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, you're halfway through a podcast. Listen to the rest. There's some great stuff to come. I tell you, someone who knows a lot about boxing and has spent much of his life dedicated to boxing as a fan is Sir Bob Jones. And did you read his comments yesterday around Joseph Parker's WBO boxing belt?
Yeah, well, basically he was saying the WBO is a bit of a joke when it comes to belts. And he was saying that that he thought that he probably just lost the fight, but he said that's the way that boxing goes. He wasn't sort of fixated on the result.
No.
But he was more fixated on the fact that people are calling Joseph Parker the heavyweight champion of the world, and he said that's actually, it's just silly.
Yeah, well, it's not true.
Point in doing that.
It's not true. He's won the WBO, and at the same time, Joshua won a fight which is considered higher. So as Bob Jones said, it would be like the rugby union saying, look, we won't bother with a provincial championship this year. We'll anoint South Canterbury to play Wairarapa Bush for the title, and to hell with Canterbury, Wellington and Auckland.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. But I mean, no disrespect to Joseph Parker or Andy Ruiz Jr., because getting in that ring, those guys are, you know, champion fighters and beating the crap out of each other.
It was a good fight.
It was a great fight,
yeah.
and terrifying position for anyone to be in. It would be the worst 10 seconds of anyone's life just being in that ring for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But to say that he's now the champion of a world champion, it's not. He's the WBO champion.
Yeah.
He's not
the world champion.
No, I know. It's quite interesting. It was interesting the media coverage of it exactly afterwards, and then what happened the next day with a whole lot of boxing people coming out and saying, well, actually, it's kind of slightly different. It just seems that this promoter's sort of pushing him. Duco really are pushing him as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah, and people say Sir Bob Jones is a disgruntled ex, sort of he was originally at the start of Joseph Parker's career, but he spotted his talent early, and Bob Jones doesn't need to do that. He had a different path for how he wanted Joseph Parker's career to follow. He wanted him to learn a skill for a lot longer and then maybe go for aim for the top when he was around 30.
Yeah, it was certainly not Bob Jones's idea to make money out of him.
No.
That was not what he wanted to do. He's got enough money.
Yeah.
I don't think what he was doing with Joseph Parker when he was looking after him in those early days, he really wanted the best for him.
Yeah, well, he was a fan of boxing, so he had found a talent, and he thought...
It's not about him.
I want to help him. But, boy, I tell you what, Bob Jones, I heard that Darcy Waldegrave interview yesterday with Bob Jones, and, geez, good luck getting a word in when that guy starts talking.
Oh, you can't.
You can't. There's just no way in. It's an impenetrable wall of Bob Jonesy.
No, I've had spoken to Bob Jones on a number of occasions. I've been to his house, and... had lunch with him at his house, and I tell you what, he's very entertaining, but definitely very much the fax machine on send. The fax machine's not receiving quite as much as it's sending out. Very well read, though.
Yeah, a very intelligent man, very rich and powerful man. And he hasn't had to listen to many people.
No.
He doesn't have time to listen to people.
No.
It's like, I love that whole thing where he was when he was traveling on commercial flights,
yeah,
and putting headphones on, but they were earmuffs.
Yeah, earmuffs.
Just so he didn't have to listen to the hostess.
Because they used to say, the weirdest thing is I went to his house and I went into his study, and he was showing me some book or something in the study. And there were like 6 sets of earmuffs in a study. And that was from when he used to take them on the plane. They're like industrial earmuffs that you wear if you were chainsawing. And he said that the reason was because he hated the safety announcements so much. And they used to say, take off your headphones because you're not allowed to wear, like listen to music. And then that's why he got the industrial earmuffs, is because they can't tell him not to wear them. Then he ended up buying his own plane. He was so angry with the safety messages and being told what to do things. He hates being told what to do.
Well, you've got to say that is the most annoying thing they say on planes. Make sure you listen to the message, even if you fly with us regularly, because things change. They don't change.
No, they don't change.
They don't change. And sometimes when you're flying like 3 or 4 times a week, there and back, that's 6 flights, and those safety messages will cause you to open the airlock and jump out of the plane.
Bob Jones's biggest issue, he told me, was that they used to prepare the cabin for landing too early.
Oh, they do!
That was the thing that really wound him up. Mm. It was like 20 minutes to go, and they're preparing the cabin for landing, and he's like, why do I have to put my tray table away? We're miles up in the air. It's not like we're going...
I find that as well, because... You want to get off the plane and you want to get going, and then they've sort of basically said you're about to land, and then that just stretches out forever and ever and ever, and then the distance between from when they say prepare for landing till you're landing and off the plane is so long that by that point you want to open the airlock and jump out of the plane also.
Mm. It's getting longer and longer too.
It's the Fact Factor.
7:33, time for the Fact Factor. Here's how the Fact Factor works. I'll come up with a topic. Matt comes up with 3 facts on that topic. We'll judge whether they're good or bad, work out whether he has the Fact Factor. Here is the topic. In light of a High Court judgment against music manager Matt Coleman, Matt, who also manages Dane Rumble and Ezra Vine, ordering him to pay Avalanche City singer Dave Baxter more than $300,000 after finding he'd behaved dishonestly. I want manager facts, please, from you this morning, Matt. Are you ready to play the Fact Factor?
I certainly am.
What's your first manager fact?
When Beatles manager Brian Epstein first tried weed, he was observed by Paul McCartney standing in front of a mirror, pointing at himself and repeatedly saying, Jew, 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 while laughing loudly, which McCartney found hilarious and very liberating.
Warning. Warning. Warning.
That
anti-Semitic.
What? That's anti-Semitic, man.
Well, from Brian Epstein, he was a Jew.
That's even mentioning Judaism on the show is dangerous, and you know that.
So you're saying Brian Epstein was being anti-Semitic to himself?
I just like to steer away from anything anti-Semitic. So to do that, you just can't mention Judaism in any form.
What?
So.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
Well, that logic you wouldn't admit up to mention Christmas because Christ was a Jew.
Wow, that's a little bit further removed for me. This one here is mentioning the word that the J word.
Very sensitive about those issues. Okay.
Don't,
I didn't know that. All right.
It again.
All right.
Okay, bad start from you. None from one. What is your second manager fact?
There's so many songs about rainbows.
On March 20, 1996, in Whanganui, New Zealand, a 21-year-old overly enthusiastic Muppet fan took a radio station manager hostage, claiming to have a bomb, and demanded to hear the song The Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog, played non-stop on the air for the next 12 hours, or he'd blow up the place. Several buildings were evacuated due to the threat. Luckily, the New Zealand police were playing the Australian police in a rugby tournament at the time, meaning there were hundreds of cops in town. They eventually stormed the station and arrested the man.
What a fact! That has the fact factor.
A tricky situation, a hostage situation in Whanganui in 1996, absolutely, but one of the great New Zealand radio stories.
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest New Zealand radio story, in my opinion, of all time. In fact, if you Google Rainbow Connection.
Yeah.
And on Wikipedia, it mentions this in the first three sentences.
That's one of the things
remarkable.
New Zealand's most famous about, the Rainbow Connection bombing attempt in Whanganui.
The thing with that was, in 1996, there was no YouTube.
Yeah.
So you couldn't just go onto YouTube and listen to the Rainbow Connection. And the tragedy was, they went down to Tracks in Victoria Street in Whanganui, and Tracks didn't have a copy of the Rainbow Connection because in those days, you know, it's not the kind of thing you'd have lying around on CD.
Yeah.
Or vinyl.
And also that station manager was a boy at that time, but is now sort of transitioned.
That's right. That station manager has transitioned.
Mm.
Fascinating. Interesting place, Whanganui.
Mm. You spent a lot of time there.
No, I spent a year there. One good, one bad fact, Matt. What is your third and final manager fact? Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to have this in my head all day.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win today.
Go, Cubs, go!
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win today.
Baseball managers sometimes yell nonsense at umpires, e.g., I had bad wine at an Italian restaurant last night. In order to invigorate their teams while preventing themselves from being ejected from the ground.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So if the umpire has had a bad decision, you're not allowed in the rules to question the decision. So they'll often just yell gibberish when you see them yelling at it, and it registers a complaint without breaking the rules.
Huh.
So you go, my lasagna was too hot this morning! And the umpire knows you're complaining, but he can't eject you.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
Interesting fact, but now I'm going to have that Go Cubs go in my head. And yesterday I had Wichita Lineman.
Great. This is a great rhyme here.
So stamp your feet and clap your hands. Chicago Cubs got the greatest fans.
Clap your hands. Chicago's got the greatest fans.
Yeah.
That's good. Here we go.
Go Cubs go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are going to win today.
Let's go.
Here we go.
It's a man.
Oh, yeah. Bring it back in.
Your Blacks need a song like this.
What a song.
Why don't we just rip this off? All Blacks go.
All Blacks go. Hey, New Zealand, what do you say? The Blacks are going to win today.
They always win anyway.
Yeah, they do, actually. They always win. It's true, they do. They are going to win.
They are going to win. They always win. There's no need for a song. What's the point?
It's like, oh, I'm the All Blacks going to win today.
Yeah, lost the fake people.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, we need a song to try and G you up for the fake factor.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Holdacci Breakfast.
Hey, it's Tuesday Confessional, and before we go into the confession booth, we've got some people waiting that want to confess their sins. I guess I should confess one.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so we've got a we've got a goldfish called Chocolate Mousse. And Chocolate Mousse is getting to that stage where he's sort of on a 45-degree angle the whole time going around the fish tank.
He's going off a bit, is it?
He's going off a bit, and and it's annoying me. He's taking too long to sort of go off. So, and I can only say this now because the kids won't be listening because they won't be in the car right now. But this morning I hurried Chocolate Mousse's sort of departure into the next world.
Okay.
With the back of a carving knife.
Oh, really?
On the kitchen bench, and then hiffed him in the recycling.
Really?
Yeah.
You euthanized Chocolate Mousse?
Yeah. Yeah, and long-time listeners to the show will know what happened when Apple died, our other goldfish. My boys got massively upset, so I'm going to go home. I've got some explaining to do because...
So how long has Chocolate Mousse been on an angle for?
About a week.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so it was a mercy killing.
Yeah. Sort of, but I'm not sure if...
But also, the reason why I did it was last night I was looking at Chocolate Mousse and we'd ordered a full-steamed snapper from a Thai restaurant near us, and we were eating that, and I was thinking... Why am I allowed to eat this fish and go fishing and kill fish and eat fish? But why don't I just grab Chocolate Mousse and hit him on the back of the head with a carving knife?
So it's got nothing to do with the 45-degree angle. It's more about the ethics.
Yeah, it's more around the sort of morality of the whole situation.
You've got problems.
Welcome to Matt and Jerry's Confession Booth.
Good morning, Gareth from Glen Eden.
Oh, forgive me, Matt and Jerry, for I have sinned.
What have you done, child?
Oh, it was when I was a child. It was quite a few years ago now. Let's say I was around 12, 13, and a lot like Hugo, I like to eat far more. Well, I don't know if he eats too much, but I certainly did. And when you was first allowed to go home after school on your own and your mum and dad would still be at work, I used to sneak in and put a pot of water on and then basically boil up a whole pack of dried pasta, wait for that to cook. I wasn't a bad cook at 12, 13, actually. And then I would drain that off and I put in a whole pack of fromage fray, half a block of grated cheese, and I'll just slowly cook that bad boy up until it got into this incredibly sticky, gooey mess and just basically eat the whole thing off a spoon. And I'd be doing that, I'd be rocking that 3 days out of five, basically. And I'm really still carrying that weight now, and I'll never get rid of it. So I just wanted to get that off my chest, obviously not literally, because I need to probably put down a spoon and pick up some form of gym material to get rid of it. But, yeah, I feel a lot better already.
Gareth, my child, what height and weight are you today?
I'm about 6 foot, but I always say 6'1", because who doesn't add an inch on there upstairs and... possibly downstairs, and I'm probably around about maybe like I don't know, because I've only been here 4 years, so I'm still rocking the stone, so maybe like 115 kg.
Reasonably okay, Gareth. Yeah, well, I can see you're still suffering pain from your carbohydrate crime of your childhood.
Yeah, I really am.
Okay,
I really am. And I just feel like I just need to tell everyone this is why I'm carrying the excess.
Shall we forgive Gareth?
Absolutely.
From Glen Eden?
Yeah, we should forgive him.
Child, you are forgiven. Solved of his sin.
Good morning, Hauraki. Welcome to the confession booth. Who are we talking to?
Bring out the red chair for the Englishman. Red chair.
Ridge.
Boring, fell asleep. Thank you.
Ridge.
What was that?
He was confessing that he was English. It was a massive ridgy situation.
That was highly unusual. Good morning, Samantha. Good morning, Samantha. Oh, this is a butt door.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you this butt dial.
Excellent, a butt dial on the confession booth.
Brilliant. Let's listen in. Sounds like he's operating heavy machinery.
Put it over there.
He's telling someone off.
Do you forgive the caller for their butt dial?
Yeah, I'll forgive Samantha for his butt dial. Let's go to John from Gore. Welcome to the confession booth, John.
Yeah, welcome, Jerry.
How can we help you, child?
I've been listening for you being downstairs focused.
Oh, we went, were we?
That's my confession.
Mm. Oh, you've been...
And you mentioned the word but.
Oh, but.
But.
Warning.
That's downstairs focused.
But, John from Gore, are you willing to forgive us for being downstairs focused in the confession booth?
No, that's why I'm ringing
out. He's after the prize, isn't he?
Forgive him, then.
But he hasn't done anything.
Well, he's been listening to us.
Oh, that's, I can't forgive anyone for that.
Trying to get prizes by waiting for us to mention things about downstairs. That's what you confessed, isn't it, John? So that's it. That's the end of the podcast. And is your life any different? Probably not.
I reckon it would be. I'd call that a life changer.
I wouldn't.
That was a life changer.
I'd say that was a life sucker and a massive waste of time.
Well, you can have your life suck so much that it changes it. You know what I'm saying?